I'll call the March 23rd Plan Commission meeting order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Commissioner Hogan.
Here.
Commissioner Leone.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Commissioner Morrow.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Commissioner Fowler.
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mark. Thank you, everybody. It's nice to see a little crowd here. I know what you're here for. We'll get to that as quickly as we can. Item B, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of March 9th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item C, public hearings and business matters. First item is Liban's Lawn Service Operation Expansion. Mr. Fuchs.
This is a public hearing notice that I will read. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, March 23rd, 2017, at 7 o'clock p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Mark Liban, President of Liban's Lawn Service, Inc., for an amendment to a special use permit for a landscaping lawn service business use upon property located at 11307 West Forest Home Avenue.
Mr. Deedle, highlights.
The property is shown on the aerial photograph on the screen. The specific building that the applicant is using is the address 11307, the red roof, and that storage area to the right or east of it. So what they want to do is they want to expand the area that they have their materials further north. In addition, their original approval back in 2002, I believe, didn't show them going as far north as they already are. So they're going to be cleaning up that issue at the same time that they want to go further north. And then so as staff's report and staff's recommendations is the cleaning up that property and adding some more fences. But otherwise, this is a special use, and they're already there.
All right. This is a public hearing for a special use to allow expansion of this current existing user. I will open a public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Yes, sir. Give us your name and address, please. And
Mark Liban. I'm just here to have any questions or concerns.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Alderman Mayer.
Suzanne Mayer, 9722 West Ryan Road in the district. I've talked with some neighbors in the back. And,
Nick.
Summertime, some kind of grinding or something like that. They say that they can't even be out in the summertime in their yards when that's going on. There seems to be some confusion with the addresses. I think that has now been taken care of. Although the last fire inspection still showed 11305 as the fire inspection report. I'm hoping that 11307 is actually in their files now. There's also garbage flying from their operation into the neighbors' yards behind them. There was a fence put up recently. I don't know if there was a building permit issued for that. It happened fairly quickly, according to the neighbors. And it just kind of seems like the rules and permits and everything that the operation should have, they don't. There is no occupancy permit, so a building inspection has never been out there since 2002, and no occupancy permit has been issued for the current location. So I'm sure that would be taken care of with this new computer system and everything that the city has. But there are issues with this, so I just want everybody to be aware of that. I think liberties have been taken, and there's no, doesn't seem to be any reason to think that liberties won't be taken later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else rising, I will close the public hearing. Mr. Deedle, can you outline some of the conditions as outlined in the staff report and the resolution?
Yes, as we normally do, we outline the conditions in both. And in those, in that regard, so we're asking that the overhead garage door, the existing overhead garage door, be replaced or fixed. That's in bad shape right now. We're asking that the construction debris, junk, wood, utility poles, and a boat be removed. So only the directly related landscaping typical materials will remain on the site. Also, there's a rusty cargo container that has to be removed from the property. Also, there's a ditch on the far east side of the property. We're asking that some ditch checks be placed in that ditch to help prevent any erosion from getting further and off the site. And then the parking lot, we are asking that they restripe the parking lot to add one more handicapped accessible stall. The applicant is already proposing to put everything in bins and to extend the fence. There's a gap where the current fence ends on the north ends. They'll complete that fence all the way to the existing chain link fence in the north.
Outline for me the enforcement procedure, specifically conditions 4, 5, 6, and 7.
So the normal process is, as these conditions do, we have a time frame that they have to be met. So these conditions, sometimes it's building permit, sometimes it's occupancy permit. In this case, it's a time frame. Most of these, number 4 is a 1 year, number 5 is 6 months. And, oops, we didn't say what number 6 was. So then when that event happens, we'll double check.
And if it doesn't?
Then if they won't do it immediately after our double check, we'll bring it back. They lose their approval, but we'll bring it back to the Plan Commission and Council.
My own personal opinion on this, the repairing a garage door within 1 year is not acceptable. 30 days works for me. I don't see any financial hardship to getting it fixed. Similarly, the construction debris, condition 5, were, if I had the authority, I would say prior to approval, 5, 6, and 7 would be done prior to approval, but we don't have that authority. So 6 months to clean up that stuff, 60 days. Would be my preference. Similarly, the ditch checks, man, there needs to be a time period there. I don't get much heartburn over that one. But that would be my recommendation.
Number 6.
Condition 6, I would say 30 days would be my recommendation. That would be nice. So, questions from commission? Commissioner Leone.
A couple of questions for the staff first, and then is it okay for me to follow up with some questions to
Absolutely.
The alderwoman as well? Okay. Staff, I see this email. I guess, Nick, you brought it. I don't know if you or Joel want to answer, where Mr. Leiben responded to the Jim's K landscaping email from last week. I don't really see in here on some of the conditions other than the fire inspection. I don't really see who's right from the city's perspective. You know, the Jim Kay's landscaping is making some statements, and then Mr. Leiben responded to it. Can we, you know, assess which one of them is right about these things?
Well, sure, if you want me to walk through them.
If you would, but I mean, we know the fire permit one. That's been addressed, but the rest to do with being built in a flood zone, a berm being required, and not having permits for the landscaping bins.
Okay. Number one, running a business from the back of the parking lot for a number of years without a permit. He does have a permit. He has a special use permit that was granted in 2002. As the alderman pointed out, for whatever reason, an occupancy permit, which would be the next step, was never obtained. Our staff looked into it. It appears that an application was pulled for that, but never filed and never approved. So this will be fixing that. And as I briefly mentioned before, that original approval approved this use, approved the parking of vehicles outside, and approved landscaping materials outside, but did not approve all the other structures like the telephone poles and stuff. And it also identified that the area that they could store the outside stuff only extended just a few feet past that little white structure. He's obviously gone a lot farther than that. So the original approval he's in some degree of compliance with, but he's gone further north than he was supposed to, and he had other materials out there that he was never allowed to. And then, of course, the biggest point is he never got that occupancy permit. So that would be referring to condition number one, so that he does have approval to store equipment and mulch and fertilizers and gas cans. He does have approval to store all that stuff. There was something I mentioned about the fire. As the email said, there was no fire on this particular property. Other properties had fires that were contained by the sprinkler system. This property had no fire. I have an established legal business. Went through all the legal formalities, and I object to having another business like mine just two blocks away. As I previously mentioned, he did get his special use approval, just did not get an occupancy permit. And the city does not regulate anything based on the fact that there's another similar business nearby. I would say that there is no allowance in the codes to allow us to do that. This property cannot be built because it is on a flood zone. There is no floodplain here. The shed that he's running his office out should not be permitted. That is a permitted use as part of that special use. Throwing down traffic bond does not correct all the problems. I'm not sure what he meant by that. If they were using that as the material to store materials on, again, the special use would determine those details. We're not asking for anything to be changed than what's out there now from that standpoint. Some landscaping outfits use concrete and asphalt to store the materials on. Some don't. Some use a combination of both. So that would be my guess. He's complaining that there's traffic bond out there for some areas where stuff are being stored. But as long as that's part of the special use, that's permittable. Number four, when they applied for a special use permit, they had to build a berm. The public does not want to see all those trucks of equipment and it's an eyesore. The requirement is either a berm, a fence, landscaping, or some combination of all the above. And it's a case-by-case call by staff, the Plan Commission, and the council. In this case, there are site-proof wooden fences. We will require those fences to be fully extended all the way to the north to the chain-link fence that currently exists. We believe that would be adequate. It's usually when they use a chain-link fence entirely around the property or a chain-link fence with slats that we ask for landscaping also or a berm also, or in another instance where it's really close to the public street. So as you can see on this is at the far back end of the property, not easily visible from any public street. And in addition to the fence that exists, there's a tree line there as well. And then the last part was, I guess that was it for number four. Number five, prior to the person renting the property was a landscaper, city said, if he did not fulfill a special use permit, which was obvious when he purchased the property. I'm not sure what that means. It's just like we treat everybody the same. When they get these special uses, we look at the size of the property, the location of the property, what they're proposing to do. If we have any problems with them, we work with them before we enforce. We have to receive a complaint before we enforce, unless it's health or safety related. That's the city's policy, as established by the council. In this instance, we have time frames for our conditions. We normally do that. I believe we do a better job following up on those conditions now than we used to. And we also coordinate more, not only from the governed system, which we electronically log all these kinds of things in, and that system is used by the inspection department and the planning department, as well as other departments, but also we give them copies of everything. So the same information the planning commission gets, building inspection gets. We send a post-approval letter to the applicant with whatever conditions are. We give a copy of that to the building inspection department as well. So they're fully apprised of when this gets approved and what those conditions are. I think that's about it.
There's a sixth.
Number six. Yes. Yes, and that is a standard condition that we ask for all applicants who do landscaping. He does not have them. He's proposing to do that. So as normal, we approve these plans subject to what he presented to us with any additional conditions that the Plan Commission and Council imposes, and his plans show the bins. So he will be required to have bins for all the materials he stores.
Thank you, Joel. My other question now would be for Alderwoman. The Alderwoman.
Without objection from the Plan Commission?
No.
Alderwoman, just kind of a two-part question, and the comments that you got from your constituents, were they opposed to approving this, or were they more concerned with these things be corrected and then they would be okay with it?
They are against it. A lot of it has to do with the noise, and I don't know if there's something in the old special use permit against that. There is something in the old special use against, like, the outdoor speakers, I think, Joel. Something about if anything's playing through these outdoor speakers, you know, you're not supposed to do that. I would assume that it was supposed to be a quiet kind of operation. So there's something going on in the summertime that's really loud and disturbing to that whole entire area in the back there.
But we don't really know what exactly that is.
I don't know what they're doing.
And there are multiple tenants on this property, so it's possible it might not be this tenant. But yes, there is such a condition in the original special use. Any noise emanating from speakers shall not be audible at any point on surrounding streets or abutting properties. That is a condition from the original special use.
So I'm not sure what that actually covers. If it's coming from speakers, I don't know if that covers some grinding machine too, but if they say there's something going on where he's grinding something up, and I don't know if it's tree stumps or, you know, cement or what, but something's very loud and disturbing to the neighborhood. The other thing that I do want to address is the garbage that flies over the fences that are there. There's a chain link fence that goes, I think, the entire length through that whole entire tree line. Some of those properties have a wood fence also, some don't, and I'm not sure what the conditions were for a fence from the old special use permit either. So I don't know if the fence that was supposed to be built in June of 2002 was actually built or not.
Yeah, the special use refers to landscaping, screening, and fencing, but doesn't go into any details where that was or what type.
Okay, but it was supposed to be built by June of 2002. And no building inspector went out there, so nobody knows if it was actually done or not.
Although there is a fence out there now.
That was just built because the garbage was flying into this the neighbor's property. One of the neighbors asked if something could be done, and he built that quickly. But it does not alleviate the problem. It's probably this far off the ground in some spaces, so it's not really doing the job that she would have wanted done. So I don't know if there's something else that can be done on that end. It's over the ditch and everything, so there's a lot of space in between the chain link fence and the fence that was put up. And I don't know how long that new fence is.
We could add that as a new condition.
Thank you, Alderwoman. Is it okay to ask Mr. Leiben to address some of the noise and garbage concerns? I believe you said you were willing to.
First, I'd like to address the construction material as my landlord's material, telephone poles, boats, and concrete on the other side of the property. I can get my hand getting rid of it, but that's not my material. I don't occupy that part of it. As far as the fence, a neighbor lady did call and ask if we would extend the fence, and we did so. And she actually sent us a $50 gift certificate to A&W to show appreciation for getting it up right away. As far as debris and material, there are other dumpsters for the larger company next to us. And when the trucks come in and flip that material in there, it's a lot of light paper packaging material. It flows off the truck, flows over there, and we've been picking it up periodically.
The fencing for that, where the alderwoman described the fences, some of the fence areas being pretty low and not able to stop it from going to the neighbor's property.
I would say it's probably a foot gap underneath it. And where our fence for the property that we're occupying, we have a fence running probably 7/8 of the way, except for the very back end of it, between that and the neighbors to the east. And then we do go on the other side of the fence and pick up material and stuff like that. But I don't think there's a lot of material blowing off our property into there. It's usually coming from the dumpsters from the other company. It's a long parking lot. It's got a wind tunnel going down there. So when they lift it up, it blows. And then we end up picking up the stuff, even though it's not ours. The other thing was, as far as grinding and during the day, our operation is pretty much the guys come in at 7, they're out there at 8, 9 o'clock. And then they go to the job. They may come back once in a while to fill up mulch onto a truck and then leave again.
So is there any grinding going on during the day or anything
that
could be coming?
No, we don't have a chip or anything. Everything we have, we haul to a dump site.
You know from the other tenants, since you've been there about 15 years, what that noise and where it may be coming from that some of the neighbors are describing?
No. As far as music, it might be my guys washing the trucks with the radios on. We can take care of that immediately.
Those are the questions that I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Your time frames for 4, 5, 6, and 7, are you asking for those to be put into the record?
I am.
Can you just read? 4 was going to be 30 days instead of 1 year?
These are my ideas, so you guys do what you want. But
I understand. I'm asking what yours are.
Condition 4, 60 days.
4 is 60 days?
Yeah.
Now you change it again.
Okay. I change it.
Okay.
Hey, you know. Condition number 5, 30 days.
Okay.
Condition number 6, you would add within 30 days. Condition 7, 60 days. Off-street parking, I don't have heartburn, but 60 days seems reasonable. The issue here we have, Mr. Leiben and everybody in the audience, is we lose our stick without putting these conditions in here. And frankly, being mayor, I hear way too many complaints about blowing garbage and nobody doing anything about it. Garbage accumulating behind buildings. And we have to use whatever sticks we have available to us, and that's the purpose of this. You're still at the floor.
Just a question to Mr. Leib. Are you okay with these terms that the mayor is proposing to you?
Okay.
And my other question would be to staff, Joel. Is there any way that... I mean, he's stating that the garbage or debris that's flying around might be from him or might not be. Is there any way that we can find out where it's coming from? I mean, can't those people be, like, maybe notified or everybody kind of clean up your own little thing there for the neighborhoods that is around there?
The best way is for somebody to file a complaint, and then we go out there. Although if we're busy, we prioritize things. But for us to go out there and then see...
So we would be the one that would be doing that?
Yep.
Okay.
It could also be a littering complaint through the police department. that would then get referred to the planning and zoning.
Alderwoman, I would suggest just making a little trip to police station or something and probably putting an idea of, or something in there to have them go and look at something or...
Shipping container? Is that it?
No. It's on a cell.
Move it down to the
right. Right there.
And what is it being used for? Illegally?
It's storing seasonal equipment. We have our winter equipment in there. It's no lower than such. And in the summer, we have our controllers in there.
Yeah.
The city requested it for the planning committee. We requested to get rid of it on a plan like that. And we made the other use to use part of it for our equipment.
Appreciate your cooperation. Thank you.
It was on the first special use, the site plan and everything as part of the, I don't know if there was almost like fencing for them, but I do wonder what would be there to replace that container.
It kind of defines the border between us and the other company. I think we should do something there to make sure everyone.
Yeah, I apologize for the temperature in the room. We have a budget item to replace the heating and air conditioning, and that project has now become asbestos-related, so I apologize. Okay, anyone else? Action regarding this item? I guess suggest a motion. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution to amend Resolution 2002-5350, imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for property located at 11307 West Forest Home Avenue to expand operation of a lawn maintenance lawn maintenance, landscaping, and snow removal business subject to the changes in conditions 4 being...
7.
Just, if there are any added conditions, any additional new conditions?
Well, let me get the motion and we'll... with condition 4 being 60 days, condition 5 being 30, condition 6 being 30, condition 7 being 60, condition 6 adding the condition of 30 days compliance, and condition 8 is 60 days.
What? 8?
8. 7. 8. Striping of the parking lot.
I'm sorry. It's 60 days?
Yep. That's what
so
I recommend.
So it's 60...
5 and 6 at 30, the rest at 60.
60, 30, 30, 60, 60.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any additional conditions?
Fixing the gaps underneath at the bottom of the fence.
The applicant shall also repair any gaps between the bottom of the fences.
Or fill in if there's a pothole kind of thing.
Filling gaps in the fences.
And the fence is extended as far as it's supposed to be extended?
He's already proposed that's part of the plans. So the whole thing, actually, for this new condition, should probably put a time frame on it, too. 60 days.
60. Is there a motion to that effect?
No. So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's warm in here, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Discussion of that motion, everybody clear? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Leon?
Nay.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Commissioner Morrow?
Aye.
Alderman Dandria?
Aye.
4 ayes and one absent. Motion carries. Okay, we'll move on to item 2. Public hearing matter on a rezoning for Bridgestone Capital LLC, single family residence construction. It's changing C1 to R6. I know that's what most of you are here for. This has nothing to do with the houses or what's getting put on there. It's just a change in the zoning, and
I'll let the professional speak to it. Mr. Fuchs.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, March 23rd, 2017 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Ryan S. Conasek, operator of Bridgestone Capital LLC, for approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone a certain parcel of land from C1 Conservancy District to R6 Suburban Single Family Residence District for the property located at 8647 South 35th Street, bearing taxi number 833-9999-000.
Mr. Deedle, tell us why we're doing this.
This was a condition of the city's approval of the certified survey map. So earlier this year, the Common Council approved the certified survey map. As you can see on the photograph, the property is one large parcel right now. The applicant, the property owner, asked to divide it from one parcel into three. So a new lot would be in the northern part, and a new lot would be on the far western part. So a total of three homes eventually would be proposed, would eventually be built here, counting the existing one already. So as part of that certified survey map, our ordinances require that all the natural resource features be mapped, verified. They did that. There were a number of conditions that the Plan Commission added as well about investigating soils and building methods to further verify that homes could be built on those soils because they are awfully wet. So that certified survey map was approved with a number of conditions. That final approval was January of this year. One of those conditions was to do a rezoning to remove C1 zoning. C1 is a conservation zoning district that the city used to have both in a text of the ordinance and on our zoning maps. A number of years ago, prior to me being here, there was a Unified Development Ordinance text amendment to remove that zoning district from the text, so that it no longer exists. However, it was still left on the maps. So technically, we need to get rid of both it on the map and in the text. So as you can see on the photograph now, that's the current zoning. That C1 is the greener area. That is not accurate. That's an old information, old layer. The wetlands are much bigger than that. And we recommended, and the Common Council concurred, to remove that zoning, and that's why we're doing this rezoning. That's all. Just that rezoning to get rid of the C1.
Okay, since we're in the narrative portion of this discussion, what protects the wetlands, the woodlands, and the floodways?
City's regulations, and to a certain extent, the DNR and Army Corps as well. So the city, as part of our zoning ordinance, requires protection of all wetlands, a 30-foot buffer around all wetlands, an additional 20-foot buffer or setback on top of that buffer, and we also require protection of 50% of the young woods. They have met those requirements. So then the process for that, they have to map it on the certified survey map. Each house that gets built has to do a plat of survey. It gets mapped on there. There's also a conservation easement that must be recorded with the county that protects those natural resources as well. And so then all that information is referred to when building permits are pulled.
Okay, I tried to short-circuit some of the questions. Okay, this is a public hearing. I will open a public hearing. And there's the map that most of you want to talk about. So anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Bless you. Come on forth. Give us your name and address for the record and...
Jerry Honick, 8588 South 36th Street. I'm in one of the corners there that butts up against the lot that would be on the western end. Those wetlands that are running through there are typically very wet. The wet extends throughout that area along the ditch, the drainage ditch that runs through that area also, to the extent where I've had flood waters in my basement twice since 1999. My neighbors had them at 8582, has had basement flooded at least three or four times in that same time period. I'm very concerned about additional development coming into that area and pushing more water back into those wetlands.
Thank you, sir. Most of you have seen this map or have it. The possible sites for homes, there's one right there. It's pretty much the only place it can go. There's the existing building here and the garage, as I recall. And the only other footprint for that other lot is right here. It can move a little bit, but that's generally the location. And again, the rezoning is R6. It's residential. Anyone else wishing to speak on? And it does not include apartments, condos.
May I ask?
Yeah, ma'am, please use the microphone because we record these. And give us your name and address, please.
My name is Sandra Kowalski, 8576 South 36th Street. May I ask the approximate address of home number 2 on Puce, where that would be proposed?
This one here?
Yes, in order to get an idea. The corner, the first home, you know, presented is existing at 35th
yep.
and Puce.
Yep.
So I'm wondering where that one west on Puce.
Do you have an aerial, Nick?
It's across from the park, I think.
It's slightly west of the park.
And in relation, where's Kayla's Park?
Right here. Here's the Nick! Here's the playground.
Okay, where was the home?
And right in there.
So a little further west.
Yeah. And then another one right here.
My concern in coming tonight is why we would turn this conservation area into additional homes. In other words, the one at 35th and Puce has been there, let's say, for 50 years. The cul-de-sac is widely represented here this evening because we have been there for 35, almost 40 years. We've enjoyed having that, you know, vacant and the wildlife, et cetera, and that's why we're here tonight. In addition to this rezoning, and the possibility of what might come in there. That's our concern.
New houses.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. That's all it is, two new houses. Yes, sir, come on. You can walk, it's okay.
Yeah, hi, my name's Harry Wilkinson, 8582 South 36th Street. So I'm also in that cul-de-sac. My question is, so if that house went in that far west corner there, like right now the way it's zoned from the way I understand it is that those trees and that are protected. So if, you know, I know you're saying it's just one house, but if that gets rezoned, how much can they clear that area? Would they be able to clear all those trees? I mean, does that zoning allow that, where that all that those trees are?
No.
Okay.
They can take a portion of them.
Yeah, is there a percentage or?
Nick, it's 30%.
For young woodlands, city requires protection of 50% of the trees, for mature woodlands 70%, and the gray area on that map shows the boundary of the conservation easement. So nothing, there's no development, they can't remove trees within that gray.
All of this is protected. And just a reminder, the only rezoning that's happening was that finger of conservation. This is already zoned R6. So we're not rezoning anything other than taking out the old conservation zoning that ran down the middle. And again, all of the gray is protected under different ordinances. So that little house there, that's the extent of their yard. And consequently, this one's got a little bit more area, but that's already been mowed for a million years anyway. Clem was real proud of his yard.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else? Now's your chance, folks. We like it when people are here, except for you.
South 36th Street. I was just wondering, when you guys changed all this, did the DNR have any input on that?
Mr. Deal.
Was this a shared delineator?
I believe believe it was, the DNR would have reviewed the stream to be navigable, and they would have determined the ordinary high water mark.
And they were okay with this?
This apparently is not impacting any...
They don't have any impact on that?
This does not impact any state protected resources.
Okay. Right on this map here, where is Kayla's Park located? Okay, and where's
the entrance right there?
Where's this house going to be?
Right there. Potentially.
Okay.
Well, probably.
Because that.
If they can build it.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Anyone else? Okay, let me do it one more time. Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I will close this public hearing. Move on to the action on this item. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone a certain parcel of land from C1 Conservancy District to R6 Single-Family Suburban Residence District?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So go to the Common Council meeting on Monday the 3rd. For their approval of the rezoning. So, thank you. Only because I'm a nice guy.
That's why I asked.
And I'm humble, too.
When you said that that was already changed and this was just a public hearing, I mean, it was about that water.
It was about the conservancy area, yes.
And that's what changed it to a residential.
We just took the conservancy area out and just made it all R6.
But that wasn't a public hearing.
When you got up and spoke, that was public hearing.
When you changed that from R1, R-C1.
No, we just did it.
When you changed it from C1 to R6, was there a public hearing?
Oh, way back when?
Yeah.
Whenever it was.
Yeah, it's state mandated, yeah. I'm sure there was. I wasn't... I mean, we were all much younger then.
We weren't born.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. The answer to your question is yes, but it was a long time ago. The only thing that changed for this to divide it into three lots was a certified survey map, which happens here, and there is no public hearing on that. So, and that happened back in what, December?
January.
And Commissioner Haley says it, and I've said it a number of times. The natural resources are protected. Actually, they're more protected now than they were if we didn't do anything. So, it's better. It is. Okay, thank you all for coming. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate your input. Thank you.
I better see all my beer back.
Hey, Jerry, how do I make sure? Thanks, folks. Move on to item D2, Zurn Building Products. I'm sorry, D1, Progress Preserve Subdivision, lot 42, a two-unit condominium plat. Mr. Dietl.
Yes, no public hearing on this one. Staff's recommending approval with no extra conditions, just the normal conditions about all fees and permits and stuff to be obtained. So as you can see on the screen, this parcel is one of the last remaining undeveloped parcels in the Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision. This portion of the prairie grass is zoned R7. So approximately half of those R7 lots are duplexes, about half of them are condos. They're asking for this to be a condo. No issues, although you can see there's natural resources at the south end. Those are clearly identified in the subdivision plat and they'll be carried forward.
Nancy, it's got to stay open.
Shut the door.
It's got to stay open. Yep.
Yeah.
No. Public meeting.
So nothing else. The only other thing I could add, I guess, is it's sort of interesting. They may be pulling a building permit sooner rather than later as a duplex because they want to build right away. And there's nothing to prevent them from doing that.
And then, I'm going to pull a duplex building permit and then change it to a condominium.
Yep, when the condo plat gets approved.
Comments from the commission? I do have a concern just for staff level that the architecture here needs to be complementary to the architecture, because these are all two-family. I don't care if you call them duplexes or condos. They're all two-family. They're all similar architecture. So, okay. All right.
Yeah, just another additional
Alderman
comment.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Just so you know, this area, when the economy dropped, this area was a whole condo association, and a lot of things changed in here. Where some of the banks that owned properties changed the condo association setup. So that's why it's a hodgepodge of condo associations, and some are independent and not part of the association. Okay. But I agree with what the mayor's comments. We've got to keep it at least an architectural footprint consistent in this area. And it is a nicer area.
And I will just editorialize. We should never, ever, ever again do individual condominium buildings. That was a big mistake. Okay. That was my editorial. Hogan. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a condominium final plat for Lot 42 in Prairiegrass Subdivision? The addresses are probably going to be 9062 and 9064 South Cordgrass Circle East.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to the next item, which is D2, Zurn Building Products and a new open storage building addition. Mr. Deal.
Site plan amendment. This is on Ryan Road, Highway 100. Just west of the Public Works facility, 80th Street there on the right. Most of this is already developed, although they got the vacant property to the north. So they're proposing to add on to just one of the buildings, the northernmost building on the left. They want to add on a little bit to the right end of that building. Staff is recommending approval with just a couple conditions, one which was adding some landscaping that was shown in the original plans but is not there now, or maybe never was planted. That was 11 evergreen trees. Also recommending that unscreened outdoor storage areas be moved back behind buildings, and that second handicapped accessible parking space be added.
A motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for a property located at 9545 South 80th Street to allow for a 1,080 square foot addition to the existing northern open storage building at Zurn Building Products, Inc.
So moved.
Seconded.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.